The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast. .com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing, signage, and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72hourprint.com. That's 72hrprint.com. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with my boss, Mr. Scott Reynolds.
Hello.
With the Nut Checker Six Chin Jenkins.
Hello.
You got a double
nickname.
Dude,
don't
that time.
Answer when they call you that.
Sorry, Grizz.
We're trying to change the nickname.
To Grizz?
The Grizz.
Yeah.
He admitted he was a bear a while back.
I just nod, smile, saying. And talk.
Smile
ignore
and wave,
it.
Boys.
Smile and wave.
Smile and wave.
And that other voice you just heard is
Matt Matera. Hello.
Carmine,
it's
from
me.
Laverne and Shirley with that hair.
I'm
I don't know what's
Mets
going
fan.
On right now.
Pete Alonso.
Yeah, that guy. Pete Alonso.
Trying to name other things that I know about Matt. I'm blanking.
Trevor Sekahema. And, of course, producer extraordinaire, Mr. Matthew Matera.
I'm glad we're so close, Trevor.
Literally.
Big Pete Alonso fans.
All right.
We're sitting next to each other.
We've made a whole week of this Buccaneer training camp. We
yes,
survived.
We survived.
Well, I mean, some of us made a whole week.
Yep.
Some of us have taken a few days off.
Why are you looking at me?
I mean, should we tell him you were suspended, or do you want to just go with the I took two days off?
That was Tuesday.
Listen,
I was working.
He clotheslined one fan, and then they called him a menace to the Buccaneer community.
True.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, well, I'm back. So
I think it was 2 days, wasn't it?
I missed 2 days of practice. I worked last night up until 10 o'clock, probably, at the time you guys were done.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll give you that.
Thank you.
All right, suspension over for Scott Reynolds.
God.
And anyway, so we've made a week of this. I'm probably going to be suspended Monday because I noticed it's an 8 a.m. start time. So go ahead and suspend me now, please, for that practice.
No, you're unsuspended.
I'm going to self-imposed suspension.
We're going fishing Sunday night.
Oh,
You've actually been promoted to quarterback, so you've got to show up when James shows up.
I'm probably not going to be here at 8 a.m. because if we're going fishing Sunday night, at some point there has to be a Monday mailbag.
All-nighter.
Yeah,
Sunday night fishing.
Okay, well,
go key.
I just let everybody know I'll be suspended on Monday. Yep. All right, so we're going to get into what we've seen this past week, but first of all, we have our wonderful title sponsor, Westshore Financial. We'd like for you to talk about them, Scott.
You know it. This Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial. They are the official financial sponsor of PewterReport.com. Whether it's life insurance, investments, or retirement strategies, do yourself a favor and turn to Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial. After one conversation with Chris, I realized I didn't have the right plan together for my financial future. I didn't have enough life insurance to protect my family today or enough retirement income for my future. But that all changed when I met with Chris. It's not too late to start planning for retirement, but make the call today and don't wait. If you haven't called Chris yet, what are you doing? I've known Chris for over a decade, and I've been a Westshore Financial client long before he sponsored the Pewter Nation podcast. I trust him with my retirement. Call him today, and I'm sure that you're going to form the same opinion. Protect your family. Call 813-434-0037 for a complimentary, no-obligation, preliminary conversation. You're going to want Chris in your financial corner, and you'll be glad that you did.
Yes, you will. And you know what? I'm calling Chris because...
It's about time.
Well, you know, I've tried to think of ways that I can secure my family's future by earning extra income.
Listen,
and
I'm just going to
sell that soul food you made tonight.
No, that's not going to work.
It is going to work.
You're going to save that for what's cooking. Listen, I'm going to say, I know that you think you have good hands. I don't think you're going to make this team as a wide receiver. Okay.
Well, Alan Cross is not here anymore, so they're going to need that utility backup fullback guy. But actually, what I got busted for last night is, you know how they provide us the snacks?
Yeah.
You know, they provide the media with snacks. I actually took all the bananas and I was trying to sell them back to the players, saying you're going to cramp up if you don't get your potassium.
Oh yeah,
and
on the
unfortunately,
heels of Mike Evans cramping up the day, right.
And Darcy Glazer busted me, so she escorted me out of the building. So
maybe
so
you're probably suspended for
Monday. Well, yeah, I am suspended for Monday. She suspended me. Yeah, she doesn't know I'm here right now. I'm actually suspended indefinitely, but I snuck in today. So anyway, give Chris a call. West Shore Financial, a proud sponsor of Pewter Report. And they will take care of you, and I'm going to have a meeting with them soon myself. On your suspension last night, Scott, you missed the first 6:30 practice.
I did.
And that was a long day.
What do you guys think
of
that?
Long practice.
What do you guys think of the 6:30? Because Bruce said afterwards, I think
that's
he was
his Carolina game, the night game.
Yeah, he said that we're doing this to make sure that they're ready for Carolina week two. And I thought that was a little odd. Not that I hated it. I just thought it was a little bit odd that they were practicing.
Well, I mean,
for,
first and foremost, all these preseason games are going to be at night.
Yeah, right.
So,
He didn't say any of the preseason games.
Well,
he said,
I know.
You know, week two versus Carolina. And
but you can't put the cart before the horse. You got to go through the preseason to get to the season. So
don't you got to beat the 49ers first?
Yeah,
I just thought that was a little weird. Not that I necessarily hate it, because I mean, we're human. We obviously all logically look at the schedule, and at the time's a little bit different. It's a Thursday night game as opposed to, you know, a Sunday at 1 or a 4 or whatever
it
is. So I get it. Could you imagine Dirk Cutter saying those words last year? That's all I could think of. That's all I could think of is when he said that. He said, yeah, it's a little bit of a preparation for a different kind of game in week 2. I was
let me ask
Lord,
this.
I've been programmed different for the last 3 years.
What's the point of an 8 a.m. practice on Monday? What are they preparing for?
For London.
For the London game.
It's going to be 9:30.
9:30 then. Why don't we start at 9:30?
No,
then start at 9:30. Why are we starting at 8 o'clock? Nothing good happens at 8 o'clock in the morning. Tony Dungy used to say that to his players. Nothing good happens after 8
a.m. It was after midnight.
Oh.
I thought it was after midnight.
Maybe.
That is
true.
I mean,
it is after midnight, right? Yeah. So, I mean, my thing is nothing should start before noon at all. Anything in the world.
No.
Everything should start at noon.
I'm not with you.
Breakfast?
Get my stuff out of the way.
Breakfast is fine.
Okay.
I'm trying to wake up. Get it out of the way.
All right. So so the first night practice last night, and, you know, it was the Women of Red, the big event, the annual event. I think it's the fifth annual one. And and Trevor, you did a nice article on that today. And it's up on pewterreport.com if people want to check that out. Darcy Glazer, can't pronounce her last name. I probably should.
Kasowitz.
That's what I meant. Yeah,
Kasowitz.
Kasowitz.
Casper.
Shane Caster.
No.
No.
No?
No.
Different person?
No.
Yes, entirely. Okay.
No, the Women of Red event is really cool. Obviously, it's a great kind of beacon for the female fan base, Buccaneer fans. And also, it kind of celebrates the fact that the Buccaneers are the first team in NFL history to have two female coaches
soon
on staff. And then we also learned last night that they have a female scouting assistant as well. Mm-hmm. So they're one of the few teams in the NFL. So it's just really cool that the Buccaneers are conscious about this because, as Darcy was saying the other night, almost half the fan base is female. So
I'll tell you what, true story. My mother is the one that got me into football.
There you go.
And I used to fight my mom for the sports section.
That's very cool.
Kansas City.
That's not true. I know Judy. She doesn't really like football that much.
She loves football.
Yeah, I'm just
college football and follows the Buccaneers religiously. I mean, she's a huge fan.
And your mom are Facebook friends.
I know.
And we talk college football on Saturdays.
See?
Yep. No, so my dad likes football. My stepdad liked football. My mom loves football. And she's the one that really got me going. And you know, she's just been a huge inspiration to me in that area, and my daughter loves football, and Ellie's 18 now, but when she cheered with the South Pasco Predators for Pop Warner, she always told me she wanted to play football rather than cheer, and she's just
You wouldn't
as
let
big.
Her because you're sexist?
No, I didn't let her because she's petite. Mm-hmm. She's like 5'2", about,
so is Logan.
About a buck 10. No, Logan is not petite.
Doesn't Logan play nose tackle?
Huh?
Doesn't Logan play nose tackle?
He was a center and nose tackle.
Yeah. He was center nose tackle on the varsity when he was 6.
Exactly the same thing. But yeah, it was a really cool event. I think that they do bigger and better things every single year, and they're connecting and reaching more people, and it's always great when you get more football fans. The football on the field wasn't as encouraging last night.
A lot of drops.
Oh, my Lord.
I know those women couldn't catch anything last night.
Bruce said
you're talking about the players.
That I shouldn't date this saying last night. He said on the first night practice, there we go, that's
Thursday.
Better podcasting, that they had more drops that night than they had, he said, all year, which, what does that include OTAs and
mini
camps?
Yeah, that's OTAs.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so It was rough.
From sure-handed people.
I noticed O.J.
Howard
dropped like four or five.
Justin Watson. I mean, there were drops. And Mike Evans had a couple drops.
So
I was
actually talking with Ren about this in the stands. Shout out, Ren. He was talking about DeMarcus Lodge, I believe. And he said, they've cut and moved people already on this team. So what does it tell you about the wide receivers, or maybe just like how they view DeMarcus Lodge, that he's still here? He hasn't practiced yet.
Yeah.
He hasn't practiced a bit. And my immediate response is, well, you have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin at the top of the depth chart, but honestly, sure, they want Justin Watson to pan out. They want Scotty Miller to pan out.
They got Breshad Perriman,
too. They want Breshad Perriman to pan out, but Breshad Perriman's got a history of drops and things like that, too. So it's not like it's solidified after those top two guys.
They just added another receiver on Wednesday. Can't remember who it is, did the story, but, you know, not a big name guy. But I was thinking to myself, that gives them like 13 receivers or something in camp. I mean, it's a huge number.
You mentioned DeMarcus Lodge. I wrote about the training camp sleepers in a previous SR's Fab 5 in July. And the sleepers that I had, and this was in consultation with some of the coaches and scouts, to formulate this list. And again, this is before training camp started. So some of these guys have been hurt and haven't practiced.
Right.
At quarterback, it was Nick Fitzgerald. At running back, it was Bruce Anderson. Wide receiver was DeMarcus Lodge. Tight end, Tanner Hudson. Offensive line guard, Reuben Holcomb. Defensive line, Jeremiah Ledbetter. Inside linebacker, Devontae Bond. Outside linebacker, David Kinney, another guy that hasn't practiced Fitzgerald and Lodge.
There's a reason why they're hanging on to these guys.
Yeah, for sure. And then cornerback, Devontae Harris, and safety, Dakota Dixon. And some of those guys.
He had a nice pick six last night.
He had a really nice pick six. Some of those guys that I've mentioned that have practiced have showed really well. Dakota Dixon's one of those guys. Yeah. Tanner Hudson, we talked about that. Mark had a really good day the other day when Cam Brate was out, and he got a lot of reps. Reuben Holcomb's kind of a sleeper at guard. Jeremiah Ledbetter had the interception on Jameis Winston on the screen pass.
Yes, he did.
Devontae Bond, even though he's running third string inside linebacker behind Devin White and Kevin Minter, he has looked like a completely different player this year playing inside linebacker rather than playing outside linebacker. And he's been a core special teamer since he's been here. So he's a player that really has some position flexibility, and they've been really pleasantly surprised by how
if he gives up two block punts this season like he did 2 years ago,
then he won't be.
Bruce will cut him.
Ledbetter also had
Bruce might cut him at
the
first
line yesterday that led to an interception.
Yes,
in red zone periods. Yeah, he tapped that ball and Kentrell Bryce made a diving catch on it.
Yeah,
Dakota Dixon, that was his second interception of camp, and that one he took for six. These guys have played really well.
Yeah, and this list has been pretty solid outside the guys that have been hurt. The one switch that I would have made in hindsight would have been Dari Ogunbowale. Instead of Bruce Anderson, because I think Bruce Anderson has not really shown nearly as much as Dari has.
He had his best day, I think, yesterday. I saw him take a long run, break some tackles, get out to the outside, and show a little bit of burst, because you don't really see that burst from him. But Dari, you know what? We've all talked about the improvement we've seen from Ronald Jones. Dari has done a great job catching the ball out of the backfield as well, and he is a tough mean runner.
Yep, he's up to 220 pounds now, and I think
I don't want to get in front of this guy if I'm a defender. I really don't, because he's a mean put your head down and run you over kind of guy, and he's got a little bit of wiggle too for a big guy.
And he runs great routes. Kevin Minter told me in the training camp diary, the last one we did, that out of all the backs, he's the toughest to cover because he runs the most precise routes. He does have that wiggle, and he does have the power to break a tackle or make you miss. And he's got great hands. I think he's putting some pressure on Andre Ellington to be that number three
back. That's exactly it.
Right.
As I wrote about that in my recap yesterday, is because you look at Bruce Anderson, might have had his best day yesterday, but so did Dari.
Yeah.
Dari had a great day. He had two good runs to the outside. He, again, played well. I mean, there was one play that he was wide open three times on his route, and Blaine Gabbert didn't see him. And you look at it, and he's a guy that could also be a return man and be that number three back. And then you look at it, you're saving a roster spot.
Yeah,
because you're not carrying a guy that's going to be primarily a kick returner when you can use him as your third running back as well.
Yeah, that's
and
a great point.
Ronald Jones has had noted deficiencies catching the ball, and Peyton Barber might be
improved.
Able to do it a little bit. He has. But if you're looking at someone that you have to be that reliable pass catcher, Peyton Barber was pulled off the field for it last year, mm-hmm. and Jaquizz Rodgers would go in.
Right.
And Jones has had struggles with it, and if he continues to struggle and can't improve enough...
He's going to be put in a box.
He's going to be put in a box. Yeah. And Dare can be that guy on third down when you know the ball is being passed mm-hmm. anyway. He's going to be on the field.
I say what, we have criticized the Bucs for not doing much to improve their ground game.
They might know something we did. They might have known something.
They might know something we don't.
No, I completely agree with that, and that's what I was going to say earlier. I mean... That was one of the biggest concerns, I think, for most people coming into camp. I think that question has been answered relatively well in the first week. Now, again, we'll see what happens.
We don't know how
Rojo is going to perform when the lights come on.
Right.
But he's definitely a different guy than he was last year.
It's not the same running back.
Right.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
And you got Peyton Barber, who's in a contract year,
right.
has looked just as good as you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
And then the improvement from Dare. You've got Bruce Anderson in the mix. You've got Andre Ellington.
Running backs get beat up, too. Like, you have to have more than one.
Right.
So it's not this.
How many do you think they're going to keep? Four?
Four, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll keep four. Yeah, you can't just be like, oh, this is our starter. This is our guy.
Right.
I mean, you're basically in a rotation at this point mm-hmm. in 2019 football anyways, to where you have a rotation, and to you know somebody's going to get hurt. You hope it's never serious or anything like that, but somebody's going to tweak an ankle. Somebody's going
to
get
hurt. Should have told that to John McKay when he used to run James Wilder 420 times in a season.
I mean, that's dumb.
Yeah. Well, the one thing, too, to your point about the running back by committee, this is also going to be offense by committee, too, and it's still going to be...
You're going to rotate quarterbacks,
Well, I don't think they're going to do
that.
Offensive line switches.
You know what we've seen, though?
They're just going to blow the whistle and five new guys are going to
come in. Trevor brought
this
up the other day. We actually saw two quarterbacks on the field at the same time the other day, a new wrinkle in Bruce Arians' offense. It was Jameis and Blaine.
Yeah.
And they were both throwing the ball.
Well,
it was crazy.
They were practicing. They were practicing. They're splitting the field in half and throwing to either side.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn,
I thought I missed something there.
Right.
When he started saying, "Oh, Trevor and I were like."
Sometimes you have to dig into Mark's crazy, and then
because I've
known him the longest, I can kind of figure that out sooner than most.
Trevor, he falls for it every time. Mr. Gullible.
But my point though was,
here we are.
You know, one football.
Well, the readers do
one football, and there's a hierarchy, right, in terms of where you're going to get that ball, and it's obviously Mike Evans 1, OJ Howard 2.
Godwin, and OJ 2A, 2B.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you got Cam Brate and Breshad Perriman in that mix, and then Peyton Barber is there too. This is still going to be a pass the ball to set up the run. It's going to be a pass first type offense, and that's okay given the weapons and Jameis Winston. You know that's going to happen, but I think to your point again, we're seeing why the coaches feel they have a competent enough running game.
Yeah.
From what we've seen in practice.
I think it's going to be pass first. You said because of the weapons, and it's not even the fact that they just have good receivers. It's that they have good tight ends. Because we've talked about this before, about how Bruce likes to run a lot of things, or at least, it's Byron's offense now, but I'm sure Bruce is still involved in it. It's a lot of the same systems. And so when he was in Arizona, and even the last couple of stops that he was at, he liked to run things very vertically up the seams. And so when you have tight ends that allow you to do that, that allows you to stay in what could be a run personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into kind of what the new age philosophy in football is. And you have a lot of people who say, you don't even need to, this is a little bit far-fetched. It's not always the case, but with analytics and running back value, what their case is they tell you, you don't have to establish the run as much as you think you do for defenses to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams were the team that they used because McVay did this a lot. And it's a little bit different because they have Gurley and they run a little bit more of a zone blocking system so you can get away with it. But the thought process was Sean McVay really didn't have that thick of a playbook. It really wasn't.
Right.
It was a pretty thin playbook, and they ran a lot of their plays out of the same kind of formation.
The Patriots kind of realized that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like, the Patriots have obviously done that as well. Where
thin playbook equals one-dimensional, essentially.
No matter.
A field goal in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And goal, maybe. Yeah. Because no matter what you do, if you have the formation that's a threat to run, and you have a good running game, you have to have a good running game or at least be a little bit of a threat there. Like, have a guy like Todd Gurley or have the offensive line like the Patriots do, or whatever it is.
Or now have a guy like Darrell Henderson in L.A.
Right.
My running back crush this year.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying.
You're
right. He is in
L.A. Jason Light traded that pick to the L.A. Rams.
And you're mad about it.
And they drafted
and you're mad about
Darrell Henderson.
And you're mad
still
about
not letting
I'm
it
still
go.
A little steamed about it, yeah.
So,
Three months later.
The thought process is that if you're out of that formation, the defense is going to respect the run game no matter what. Because the if you play action from a run formation, linebackers have to stay put. They have to watch it. Right. They have to sit there. Whether you play action the football 45 times a game or not.
They're reading their keys.
They have to read the key. Yeah. And so when you're able to do that, when you're able to run a lot of different plays, both running and passing, but especially in this case, what we're talking about here, passing plays out of formations that also could have a run threat, mm-hmm. which are what? A lot of tight end stuff, in line, close to the line of scrimmage. Who plays there? Brayton Howard did, right? And he likes to attack the seams up the middle. Yeah, now all of a sudden it's a double bonus.
Right, and we've seen the Bucs come out in three tight ends with Alclair, Brayton, mm-hmm. and Howard, and Mike Evans as a wide receiver, and Peyton Barber as the running back. And that can quickly turn into like four wide receivers out of that formation with Barber either in pass protection or flaring out into the flat.
You run play action off of all of these plays and you gain yourself space, especially with a guy like O.J. Howard who gets off the line that quick.
Yeah.
If you make a linebacker hesitate at all because of a run play, there's no way a safety can get down on you. And then even if they can, then all of a sudden the receiver on the outside is going to have vertical leverage one-on-one. So
speaking of vertical leverage, T.A. Mahoney's is a proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Great segue.
I tell you what, these guys are.
I don't know. I don't know if it was a great segue.
I think it was awful.
I was trying to sell it for you.
You said it confidently. Pretty good. You were like, speaking of vertical leverage.
And speaking of vertical leverage, T.A. Mahoney's is the one spot place to go for all of your marine vertical leverage needs.
If you've got to leverage your marine needs.
You've got to go vertical. You do not shoot a flare gun horizontal.
There are no horizontal needs
at T.A. Mahoney's.
Go ahead.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you for shooting me in the back with a flare gun on the jetty the other night. That still stings. But anyway, T.A. Mahoney's has been in business since 1948, family-owned and operated. Literally, they have everything you might need for any marine needs. If you're a novice fisherman, if you're an advanced boater, and everything in between. Maybe you want to repair your own boat. Maybe you want them to take care of some repairs on your trailer, install some new electronics, new power pole. They've got it. They've got gear. They've got sunglasses. They've got everything you need, chain, anchors, flare guns. You name it, T.A. Mahoney's your one-stop shop for all of your marine needs in the Tampa Bay area since 1948. Check them out online at tamahoney.com for all of your vertical,
leverage.
Vertical leverage.
Yeah. All right, so we're done with vertical leverage talk. Now let's talk a little bit about some leverage on the defensive line. Vita Vea is night and day where he was last year. I mean, it's literally not even close.
From this point last year? Yes, he was on a cart, like a little scooter last year with his foot in the boot.
He's actually walking this time this year.
He's actually kind of running and ramming into people like a juggernaut, isn't he?
He's just really dominated a lot, particularly when he gets one-on-one opportunities. I mean, he's all over the place. And, you know, there's always going to be the debate, oh, they should have taken Derwin James. But they took Vita, and there's going to go back and forth. Look, Derwin James made the Pro Bowl last year and some all-rookie teams. Vita came on towards the end of the year. But it's looking more like if he plays as well as he's practiced this first week, then I think it's going to make a lot of people kind of forget about the Derwin James thing because he and Sue teamed up in the middle are two forces you don't want to deal with if you're an offensive lineman. I mean, they're both nasty guys.
Listen, I went overseas this summer for the first time. So it is fair and correct to say that I have now traveled the world. And
Bahamas doesn't really count.
What doesn't count?
Bahamas.
No, I went to Paris.
You went to France.
I went to France. Yeah.
That's in the Bahamas, isn't it?
And I can say, without a doubt, throughout my world travels, that it is 100% absolutely true that you can't teach girth. And that's what Vita Vea has got.
That's true.
He's got girth.
He is overwhelming people.
Yeah.
When he does any one-on-one, whether it's against Ryan Jensen, even Ali Marpet, he gets the better of a little bit. And, you know, it's kind of funny because as you were saying that, I was thinking about it when you were talking about Vita Vea. And it's like, who are some of the people that we've talked about or highlighted the most over the last two podcasts? Vita Vea, Ronald Jones, and Vernon Hargraves III.
Mm-hmm.
Players that have already been written off as busts.
And Noah Spence, too.
By most people. A little Noah Spence in there, too. Yep. So, you know, maybe coaching does matter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, guys, but I got a hunch that coaching matters a little bit. And this group that they have in here now to really teach these guys how to play, you know, all these coaches say this, but I certainly think that we're figuring out, especially from what Cutter and Mike Smith did last year, that when you say that you're putting players in the best position, you mean that you're trying to put them. Some coaches
it's actually
just
happening
mean that,
now.
Yeah, some coaches just mean that, like, oh, I'm trying to put these players in the best position for what I want to do.
Right.
It's still about my game plan. Yeah. You're going to fit in the best role in my game plan. Mm-hmm. Whereas Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles are kind of going, okay, we can do a variety of different stuff. Mm-hmm. We're actually going to put you in positions, and we're going to let this defense kind of fall as it may. We're going to play the best players wherever we can get the most talent out of our roster.
Yeah.
Before, I didn't believe it, and this year I kind of do. And I think that we're seeing that with guys like Vea and guys like Ronald Jones and mm-hmm. guys like Vernon Hargraves, the upped confidence, you know, to make plays, and we're seeing those plays happen in training camp.
And you know what, too? I think this preseason, a lot of times teams head into the preseason and it's kind of vanilla. It's just kind of like we're not going to show all of our stuff, and we're going to keep some of the good special packages and blitzes and you know, big-time plays. We're going to keep those, you know, undercover until the regular season comes. This preseason might be different, especially on defense, because there's so many young players. And I think with Todd Bowles, like, it's all about pressure. It's what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense for Todd Bowles to come out and play cover two every down against the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Miami Dolphins or the Cleveland Browns
right.
or the Dallas Cowboys in the preseason, because that's not what they're going to do, and the league knows it. Todd Bowles, there's film on what he likes to do. And he's kind of like the opposite of what Marty Schottenheimer was, the old Kansas City coach that I grew up following in Kansas City, was all about, which is you're going to get Christian Okoye on first down. You're going to get Christian Okoye on second down. Stop it. And then if it's third and short, you're going to get Okoye again. Mm-hmm. It's third and long. It's going to be a play-action pass. Steve DeBerg's going to hit Stephon Page, get a first down.
Right.
That's just how it was.
Right.
And it was go ahead and stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're going to see, because a lot of these young players in the secondary, and the oldest cornerback is Vernon Hargraves. And everybody else is either a rookie or a second-year player in that secondary. And so,
how many career interceptions does the cornerback group have?
Two. Vernon has one, and Ryan Smith has one. And that's it.
It's crazy.
Okay? And so I think you're going to see in the preseason a lot of these players blitz and get after it, because they're going to have to practice that in game situations to be ready for the 49ers and ready for the Panthers.
Right. And yeah, I think that this team's going to win a decent amount of their preseason games, because I think you're right. They're kind of showing that they're going to go all out, and not every coach does that.
Right.
You know, like,
it would be different if this was a veteran secondary that kind of been there, done that.
Yeah, sure.
Learning a new system, sure, but, you know, I've got 3-4 years under
Cutter's
my belt.
Whole theme last preseason? Don't get hurt.
Don't get hurt.
Don't get hurt.
Yeah.
It was literally it.
Right.
They came out and they got embarrassed by a couple of different teams, you know? I mean, the defense, it was all about not getting hurt, and then they give up 40 to the Saints. Now, the Saints are good, but... You know what I'm saying? It's basically like
Vernon Hargraves made it to week one before wrecking his shoulder in week one and being out for the year.
So, and Bruce, when we asked him about live tackling right away, he said, the only way you get better at tackling is by tackling.
Right.
So why wouldn't we tackle? And I do think it's funny now in Tampa Bay, the media members are forced to every offseason go, hey, are we going to see goal line this year? Are we going to see goal line? Just because training camp's been so soft for so long. But it's very different now. I think that they're actually practicing to win football games.
Right.
Whereas before, they were either practicing to not get hurt or just make it to the starting line or whatever it is. So,
Dirt Cutters Training Camp presented by MyPillow and Bubble Wrap.
Speaking of MyPillow and Bubble Wrap, Yeoman's Cask and Lion, they've elevated the traditional British pub with a creative energy where you can go and enjoy a craft cocktail while surrounded by original, playful artwork of English icons.
That's where after on the all the cocktails.
After you eat, you get one of the MyPillows.
You eat,
and
you drink, and then you sleep.
Yes,
you're on
exactly.
a full stomach.
Enjoy the best fish and chips in Florida as handpicked local artists perform covers of your favorite classics. There's even music at Yeoman's Cask and Lion. 10 lunch specials under $10 available Monday through Friday. Go check them out. They're located in downtown Tampa, also in Kissimmee. You can find them online. And we're proud to have them as a sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. One of my favorite places to go. Scott enjoys it as well. We haven't got Trevor there yet. Matt and Taylor are going to be checking it out soon because they'll be hosting a watch party.
Yeah, I've been there a bunch of times already.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys have ran into each other.
Yeah, we ran into each other there. Buffalo Bobby is great. And even the pretzels as an appetizer. Yeah. Great, too.
Excellent.
Can't go wrong there.
Excellent place if you're a drinker. It's a great place to go. They've got a ton of...
If you're an eater, if you're a drinker,
yeah,
you'll be happy there.
And a sleeper, too.
And a sleeper with a MyPillow. Yeoman's Cask and Lion. Go check them out. Proud sponsors of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Guinness on tap.
Guinness
on tap. Oh, they got Guinness.
Better believe it.
Just to go back to the blitzing real quick with Todd Bowles, we know he's going to blitz. We know the Bucs are going to get after it. But it's not just, oh, they're blitzing. It's how they go about blitzing. They do a great job, because you never know where it's going to come from. They do a great job of disguising it. Oh, it's going to come from the left side. It's going to come up the middle with Devin White and Levante David literally lined up right over the guard and center. And the next thing you know, Kentrell Bryce is blitzing from all the way back. He's done a great job so far in camp, just perfectly timing these blitzes from the safety position where you don't see it until last second. So I think even more than just blitzing, it's the disguise of how they're going to get there.
Well, I mean, blitzing, too, is all about timing. I mean, how many times? I'll tell you, Quan Alexander was not very good at timing his blitzes. We saw him attempt some A-gap blitzes over the last few years under Mike Smith. And again, you're going up against a quarterback like Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, who know every trick in the book.
He actually tore his ACL in a blitz up the middle.
Yeah. I mean, they give him the hard count and then, you know, hold off. So they make... They made, you know, these guys show what they're doing a little bit earlier. But look, if it was just a matter of blitzing all the time is going to work and this team's going to be a top five defense, then every team in the NFL would do it. You still have to have the right personnel to do it. And I'm not convinced yet that it's going to work. It's working against this Buccaneer offensive line right now.
And that's another thing.
And against these quarterbacks. Let's see how it works against San Francisco or in Carolina and some of these other teams. I mean, I love the concept of it, but again, if it was so easy and revolutionary, then every single team would be doing the same thing.
There's one thing worth pointing out. I got fooled in 2014 because, if you remember, Josh McCown looked really good in practice.
Yeah.
High completion percentage. Yep. I mean, he really looked like, I was like, wow, like this is...
He looked like Tom Brady out there. I'm not even exaggerating.
Yeah, for real.
Darts, and there was the balls never hit the ground.
Now the problem was he was throwing a bunch of slant passes, and as we know that year the Buccaneers defense was giving up the slant to whoever wanted it.
Right.
Okay. At an incredible clip, and it got even worse in 2015.
Who's the coach?
Lovie Smith, you know, the defensive guru.
Why were they giving up slants?
Because they were playing.
They were playing
off
cover two.
Yes,
of course. Yeah,
very loose coverage.
Josh McCown looked like he said, like Tom Brady.
They're playing press cover too. That'd be fine.
But the thing is, it wasn't a validation of how good the Bucs offense was or how good Josh McCown was. It was an indictment on how bad the Bucs defense was, and we should have seen that coming. And that's what's really difficult is yes, like this Buccaneer blitzing defense is all over the place, and it's really impressive. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it, but. Is this an indication of how bad the Bucs' offensive line is? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Come on in, sir. Hey. We are joined by our good friend, Mr. Alan Barrett. Come on in. Mr. Barrett has been with the Buccaneers since 2008. Is that right, or 2009? 2009. And Alan has recently announced that he is changing jobs. He's going to be leaving the Buccaneer organization. And we had a small gift for Alan that we wanted to present here on the podcast.
Very unnecessary. Hello.
No, it's not.
He's going to the Panthers to give away all the Bucs secrets.
But appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate all the stuff you've done for us over the years. You've seen Alan on TV, even if you don't know his name. He's always on TV next to Jameis Winston. You had the coolest gig of all the PR people, right?
You really are. You're just the back. You're like the background guy right next to
Jameis.
I mean,
nobody knows what Chris King looks like.
This is true.
But we all know who Alan Barrett looks like.
It's a very good-looking department across the board, that's for sure.
Not going to argue with that. Kind of like the PR staff.
Well, thank you very much. No, it's been a pleasure working with you guys, and very bittersweet, as I've said a number of times. But I always look forward to training camp. To me, it's one of the most exciting times of the year. So to be stepping away right now, as you know, the team is getting ready to prepare for the first preseason game with everything going on. It is, it's a little tough, but at the same time, I'm very excited for what lies ahead. Today I'm going to enjoy my last training camp practice with the Bucs and just soak it all in.
Well, good. Then as soon as practice is over, I want you to crack open this bottle that we've got here for you and enjoy it. And you know what? Now, next Friday night, Alan, you can sit on the couch and you can be a fan and you can yell and cheer and you can curse like
get quotes
like fans do.
Deal with the media people like Pewter Report, So you got it made, my friend.
I'm looking forward to that. It'll be definitely a bit of an adjustment for me, but one that I think I'll enjoy.
So you're making an incredible move. Tell Pewter Nation out there where you're going to be going, because you're actually going to be staying right here in Tampa.
Correct, yeah. I don't have to move, staying in Tampa. I get to stay familiar with Raymond James Stadium, which has been my home away from home. And we'll be heading up communications for the incoming XFL Tampa Bay team that's coming to town. So,
can you just wink and tell us the name of the new team? Since it has, maybe just maybe whisper it to me, see if I can read it.
We can delete it from the podcast. Just go ahead and tell us.
Yeah, just tell us. We'll delete it.
Yeah, we'll edit it out.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. All right, so you guys ready to edit this part out?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
you guys got that?
Wow. That is so cool, man. Whoa. Yeah.
All right.
Very cool name.
Well, listen, Alan.
Stay tuned. Lots of news coming on that front. I know that you guys are focused on the Bucks, and but yeah, there's going to be another football team coming to town, and hopefully, once the Buccaneers have an exciting run and everyone cheers them on in the playoffs, there'll be more football to get excited about in the spring.
Well, we've actually prepared a song for you that we're going to sing to you now. No?
We?
Can we sing something?
We?
Give me a song title. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. Nobody can deny. Hey!
That was good. That was good,
pretty
Mark.
Good?
That was
like
really
that?
Good.
Very it's nice. The only thing I could think of. I was going to do happy birthday, but anyway.
I would have done happy birthday if you didn't come up with that, so I'm really glad that you did that.
All right. Well, you can't. I guarantee you no one else is going to sing to you, Alan. So
yeah, that was good.
Always remember Pewter Report for that.
Probably right about that.
And it's going to live on in infamy as we have it on the podcast. It's going to be on the internet for years.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy, my friend.
Will do.
That is Alan Barrett, our good friend from the PR department. He's yet to revoke our credentials. We've got about four more hours to go to not violate anything. So, guys, let's try and be in our best behavior.
I'm excited about that XFL stuff. I really am. Yeah, I mean, football's never a bad thing.
Especially in Tampa. You know? Year-round football in Tampa, that's pretty cool.
Football fans in Tampa are always starving for it. I notice it because just covering the draft,
sure,
right around March or something, they start itching for all kinds of stuff. It's like, all right, we got a couple of months, you know, take off. And then right around March, right around free agency, really, people just start.
The itch comes back.
They have, something's got to scratch it somewhere.
The Orlando Apollos were fun for a little bit, but my biggest problem was then I had to, like, agree with people in Orlando. And that's really hard.
That's hard.
They were trying to bring us all together. And
like,
I was just like,
USF fans and UCF fans.
Yeah, because there was like 14 combined players from those two schools. And every day I'd go on Twitter and be like, oh my God, like, that's the guy I wanted to block, but now like we come together.
So I was
for the
a Birmingham
Apollos.
Fan. I just didn't want to talk to the same.
How do you have head ball coach?
No,
like an
I
hour
know.
And a half away.
Don't get me wrong. Like I loved Spurrier; it was great, but I just didn't.
Well, I'm just thankful Tampa Bay didn't hire
talk
Spurrier.
To Florida
coach.
State
they got
fans,
Mark Trestman
you know?
As
shout
coach.
Out.
Big
yeah,
shout
I definitely
out,
yeah. See, that was the toughest part about it. Thank you, Alan.
Appreciate it.
But you picked the wrong team. I will say that. Have head ball coach. Had Trent Richardson. He scored like 80 touchdowns, but averaged like 2.1 yards per carry.
I hope whatever Tampa team it is has a cool name and their jerseys or colors are badass. That's all I care about.
Yeah, some of those AFF uniforms
some of them
were not
great,
good.
But like Birmingham's was sick. It was like the all black ones.
That was cool.
Those were sick.
Yeah.
I didn't like the Apollos ones.
Yeah.
I thought they were very like generic Madden create a team jerseys. I just wasn't a fan. But they had a bunch of Gators, so.
There you go.
And Hattiesburger.
All right, anything else we want to delve into? We're going to go out and watch practice.
See ya.
It's Friday right now. And Trevor's,
time for football.
Trevor's ready to go.
All right,
it's Friday
football.
Night. It's Friday night. Let's go out.
It's Friday night.
Friday
lights.
Night.
So we're going to.
Whoa, Friday night.
Okay, this just went off the rails.
It did.
We went
you
to
were
XFL
singing like 4
to now
minutes
singing.
Ago. Now I can't sing.
We had a reason to sing. You're just randomly.
You said I looked like Jackson
Maine
before the podcast started.
You look like Jackson Maine. You don't sound like
Jackson
Maine.
I was trying to convince
Maine.
You to become Jackson Maine.
Just got to get it.
You have a
get
belt?
A gin and tonic.
Yeah,
you're wearing
yeah
a belt,
I got a belt.
Right?
Just got to get a gin and tonic right and pass out all the time and ruin my life.
Yeah, pops.
We're well
duels,
on our
man.
Way,
don't
folks.
Don't forget to piss in yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially on TV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I got to wait until we're doing Channel 8 again.
I think that did happen in the last year. Anyway, for Trevor Sikkema, Matt Matera, Taylor Jenkins, and Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cooksand. We'll see you next week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.
Adios.